It's Tuesday, the 10th of May, 2016. Happy birthday to Wilson Chandler and Tyus Jones. Welcome to the Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Loot Crate and PK de la Creme. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast like PK de la Creme, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. So thank you to PK de la Creme, thank you to everyone who has done that, and thank you to getting the iTunes reviews way up this season. It's been tremendous, and I do thank everybody for their support. If you are watching this podcast live on YouTube, which you can do with any of the shows, tweet at me at redrock_bball. You can see that Twitter address. Well, you can't see it because the graphics aren't working. I can't work out what to do. So if anyone's got any experience with Hangouts on Air and knows why my graphics have disappeared, please let me know at my Twitter handle, which is at redrock_bball, because it is a massive pain in the ass at the moment. I can't work out what is actually happening and why I can't get my graphics back. Anyway, that was a technologically based rant. We are here to talk. We are here to talk basketball. So, without any further ado,
let's get to it.
Actually, there will be a little bit of further ado. Now, I'm going to make an announcement here that is going to be probably relevant to one person listening, would be my guess. But if you are a fan of Australian rules football, if you are specifically a fan of the Western Bulldogs, which is the team that I support, I am going to be doing a new podcast, a Western Bulldogs-based podcast. It is going to be called The Kennel, and we'll be starting it maybe this week, maybe next week. I'll have all the information out on the Twitter account. I'll retweet stuff, but the Twitter account for the podcast is at The Kennel Pod, and there'll be episodes going up there probably once a week. So any of you who are interested in the Western Bulldogs in the Australian Football League, which again is probably one person listening, make sure you start listening to that podcast when it gets started. The iTunes feed will be up and running in the next day or so, and I'll tweet out the links both on The Kennel, and I'll retweet it through my basketball account as well. And I think it'll be interesting. It'll be a bit of a change for me to talk some footy as well as some basketball. But if you are interested in following the Western Bulldogs, or you know people that are, I am going to be doing a podcast there. Got a really interesting guest lined up at the moment for one of the first couple of episodes. At no point talking about it now. But if you are interested in that, follow The Kennel Pod on Twitter and subscribe to that iTunes feed when it comes out, which should be in the next 24 hours or so. That's enough Australian football talk. Let's talk the monstrous line of the night from Monday's action. And despite how the game actually went down, and despite the absolute ludicrity, which I'm sure is not a word, ludicrousness. I don't like the way that ludicrousness sounds. I like ludicrity. I'm sure it is not a word. There is no chance that ludicrity is a word, but I'm going with it. The ludicrity of what Steph Curry did in that overtime period, that fourth quarter and overtime period, was out of control. We'll talk about that later, but he wasn't the highest DFS score of the day. That goes to his teammate, Draymond Green, who played 44 minutes. He totaled 59.3 FanDuel points. He had 21 points. He had 9 rebounds. He had 5 assists. He hit a couple of threes, but he had 4 steals. He had 7 blocks. He went 9 of 10 from the free throw line. He went 5 of 9 from the field. Draymond has been an absolute animal in this series. He's been basically a must-play every single game of this series and every game that Steph missed in the Rocket series. At 10,000, it's probably going to be a little bit harder to play him now that Steph is back, but playing him at 10,000 is not crazy. And we saw that he played 44 minutes here. Steph played 37. They both scored over 58 FanDuel points. And you would think that that's not a crazy thing to expect moving forward. He's probably not going to be an absolute must-play guy for the way out now that Steph's here, as he was in basically every lineup, build around Draymond. But he's not going to be a guy that you've got to, I must fade him now. His value is going to drop tremendously because it won't. It'll drop a little bit, but he has been absolutely amazing so far in these playoffs. And there's an argument to be made that Draymond is a top 5 NBA player at the moment, which is crazy to think where he came from and where he was 2 years ago, to think that he could be a top 5 player in the NBA. Look, he probably wouldn't put him in the top 5. But I could make the argument. You could make the argument you'd want him over Westbrook as the fifth guy. I think the top four to me are clear. It's Steph, KD, LeBron, and Kawhi. And then at 5, you could have Draymond. You could have Westbrook. They're probably the next two guys. And I think it's hard to make. I don't think it's not hard to make that argument. I don't think he's been absolutely fantastic. He does it everywhere. Scoring, He rebounding, defense, defensive stats, steals, blocks, passing, hits threes, does absolutely everything. He has been an absolute delight to watch in these playoffs. The DFS value play of the day, we head to Toronto. This one was a fairly no-brainer-ish. And I said if you're playing cash, you had to have Bismack Biyombo as your center. And it turned out exactly that way. He was priced at 4,700. He put up 35.1 points, which was a 7.5x value. He went 13-13 in 31 minutes. He had an assist. He had a steal. He had two blocks. And with Valanciunas out the rest of the series, if they haven't bumped his salary up, you would think that Biyombo is going to be continue to be that must-play cash center. And for basically the rest of these playoffs, there aren't many high-priced centers that are left in the game. It's going to be all be value at center, and Biyombo is going to be one of those guys. So he was fantastic. On the flip side, the dud of the night from a DFS point of view goes to Biyombo's Toronto teammate. DeMar DeRozan was putrid. He played 34 minutes. He had 9 points on 17 shots. He went 4 of 17 from the field. He had 9 points, 3 rebounds, nothing else. He's still going to get a max contract in the offseason, but he has looked dreadful. And I've been a DeMar DeRozan defender from a fantasy point of view for quite a while, but his actual play on court has been atrocious. Even his fantasy numbers have been atrocious in these playoffs. And he just needs to pull his head in. I can understand a little bit the shots he's taking at the moment. Not so much, not a huge amount, but without Valanciunas, they need to generate offense somehow. And they should have been generating it through Valanciunas throughout the whole series, but they weren't until the game he got injured. But now they don't heavily have many other guys who can actually score. Biyombo's not going to score. Patrick Patterson can't score. Luis Scola won't score. Bebe Noguera won't score. None of their bigs will score. Damari Carroll has been dreadful. He's been dreadful literally all season in Toronto. Hawks system, maybe. Interesting to see what happens with Bazemore next year. But DeRozan has to force a lot, but he's been really, really, really bad at it, and going to be very interesting to see what ends up happening with him in the offseason. I think that he remains in Toronto, but geez, he has been dreadful. I was going to say a mix between terrible and dreadful, but I'm happy to go with dreadful as well. Just making up words here on the Red Rock Basketball Monster show today. Speaking of Basketball Monster, if you are playing NBA Playoff DFS, there's a lot of cash to be made. And Basketball Monster, we've got some great projections over there. It's a real cheap price. I think it's only $14.95. Not much left, but you could easily make your $14.95 back in profit in one day by using some of the projections we've been putting out there, as many of the listeners to this podcast and members of Basketball Monster will attest to. There's been some great cashes from plenty of listeners and plenty of members on Basketball Monster. All right, let's look at the perfect DFS lineup from Monday's action. At point guard, it was Dame Lillard at 57.2 points. He was fantastic. He couldn't keep up with Steph, but fair enough. Steph had 58.8 despite missing his first 9 threes and shooting 6 of 21 to start the game. He finished off with a 50% shooting and was tremendous, getting 58.8 DFS points. At shooting guard, CJ McCollum went for 31.6, and Alan Crabb had probably one of his best games of the playoffs, 18.6 in pretty decent minutes as well. At small forward, Justice Winslow went from a DMP CD to playing a pretty big role. He was minimum salary, and he put up 16.3, while Joe Johnson went for 31.9. Power forward, of course, Draymond at 59.3. Al-Farouq Aminu with another big game, 39.6. And Biyombo at center went for 35.1. And that lineup would have given you 348.4. And it's not a crazy lineup to have gotten out there. Biyombo, Aminu, Green, Lillard, McCollum, they were all pretty much no-brainers to me. Johnson was obviously in the mix. Winslow, hard to judge when he didn't play in the last game. Alan Crabb's always a punt option, and Steph, we didn't know if he was playing or how many minutes he was going to play. I think the fact that Sean Livingston got ejected forced Steph into playing more minutes than the Warriors would have wanted to, but once the game got close, they would have sort of said, you know what, Livingston, you take a seat, Steph's going to take this, and that's pretty much exactly what happened. And part of it was because they had literally no choice, because Livingston had his ass tossed very early on due to a couple of technical fouls. As I mentioned earlier, today's podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly subscription box service, and it's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and each month you get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, licensed apparel, licensed collectibles, and licensed unique one-of-a-kind items, plus more. If you head to lootcrate.com/redrock, it's the website to go to. Don't go to lootcrate.com, that's where all the peasants go to. Go to lootcrate.com/redrock. That tells the people at Loot Crate you came from this podcast, helps them keep this sponsorship deal going, helps this podcast, bright lights keep shining in my face, help the audio keep going out across the airwaves, just by visiting that website. And if you like what you see, which why wouldn't you? There's heaps of stuff over at Loot Crate. It saves a lot of effort for you in picking the sort of stuff because they do it for you. You can save $3 on any new subscription by using the coupon code REDROCK, which is one word. So make sure you're checking out lootcrate.com/redrock. This month's theme is power. It's a perfect time with the big summer blockbusters coming up throughout May. Lots of unstoppable, unrelenting, and unbeatable characters and objects. They've got things from Marvel. You've got Dragon Ball Z. There's Warcraft items as well. There's stuff to put in your kitchen. There's a figure. There's something you can carry. There's the t-shirt. There's the pin. Loot Crate has got everything covered for you this month. So make sure you are checking out lootcrate.com/redrock. And if you're making a purchase, use that coupon code REDROCK. Let's look at the games now in a little bit of extra detail. The Raptors and the Heat, is this basketball? What is happening in these games? They are absolutely atrocious. They are putrid. There is nothing redeeming about any of these games. Three of them have gone to overtime, and when it goes to overtime, you just think, Jesus, please, I don't want to watch five more minutes of this crap. Why are these games so bad? These teams are horrible. They are going to get smashed by the Cavs. I don't want to see that. And they're missing their centers. But they were bad before Valanciunas and Whiteside went down. It has not been good. Lowry, he got worse. He went 2 of 11. That is bad. 10, 7, and 9. He had 4 steals, so at least he was distributing. But he's been bad. Carroll was okay. 13 and 3 with a 3 and a steal. He's really not anywhere near as good as he was in Atlanta. Terrence Ross, 14 and 3 in 28 minutes with 3 threes. He's actually looked good in this series. I think that he was a guy that I thought was a chance to have a breakout this season. Didn't happen with the Damari Carroll signing, but he's starting to look okay, which is good for him. Pat played 41 minutes and had 7 points. This guy is just seriously one of the leaders of the do the least with most group. He can't put up any sort of stats whatsoever. While Corey Joseph was inefficient, he was taking after Lowry and DeRozan. He shot 7 of 17 for 14 points and didn't do much else. He's a very cheap DFS option. He's going to remain a useful or a potential useful guy in DFS situations, but he just doesn't put up numbers in anywhere near big enough quantities. Good to see Bebe Nguera getting some playoff experience. He played 13 minutes and went 2 of 5. I do like Bebe. The Heat, we have Dwayne Wade, who had 34 and 2. He had 2 steals. Another big game from Wade. He's been really good in these playoffs, putting up some big numbers. I think a lot of people didn't expect he was capable of doing this sort of stuff, but he's been great. Joe Johnson, 15, 2, and 3, but it was the 3 steals and the 2 blocks that got him the big DFS numbers. Well, Luol Deng played some center in this one. He played 43 minutes. He went 9, 9, and 2. And despite some big roles and some big minutes, he hasn't been able to really parlay it into decent DFS points really at all throughout this series. Winslow played 31 minutes. He went 9 and 4. So a decent night for him. He's a real cheap DFS option, as we saw as he appeared in that perfect lineup. Using him, it is risky because he's been marginalized so much in this series. But with Whiteside out, I think we see him a bit more for a bit more defensive presence, and that might translate into some DFS numbers. Stoudemire started, played 12 minutes, went 6 and 3. 12 minutes is not enough to have an impact, while Udonis Haslem played 10 minutes and went 0 and 5. That's also not enough. Josh McRoberts, 21 minutes, did nothing. He would be an interesting punt guy in the tournament. And Joshie Richardson, it's been really impossible to use him. He just hasn't provided anything of any use at all throughout this series. The second game, the Warriors and the Blazers. Steph, tremendous. 40 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 triples. By now, you know, he set an NBA record playoff and regular season for most points in an overtime period. Scored 17 in the overtime period, 29 points in the fourth and overtime combined. He scored more than the Blazers did in that overtime period. I think he scored more than what the Heat and the Raptors did combined in their overtime. Just ridiculous and just brutal in terms of what he was doing to the opposition. Turning to the crowd, pointing to his wrist, like his watch, like Dame Lillard does when he says it's Dame time, and Steph shaking his head, pointing to his wrist, saying it's not Dame time. That is as savage as you can be. You have to have massive, massive balls to do that. And Steph has got probably the biggest balls in the NBA at the moment. And he does it, and you literally, maybe not literally, you get scared because you go, shit, this is happening. That meme of Paul Allen's face, the drop jaw, I think it sums up everyone. Whether you're a Blazers fan or not, watching it, and you're going, what is actually happening here? How is this guy doing this? He has just come back from 2 weeks out with a knee strain, and he has just lit this building on fire. It is amazing to watch what Steph does. With Steph back, Klay Thompson dropped off a bit, 23 and 4 with 5 triples. That's still really, really good, obviously, but not the same sort of level of production with Steph in the lineup or Steph out of the lineup. Most Bates got hot, 11 points with 3 triples in 9 minutes. Don't bank on that. Bogut had 3 and 9 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Continues to put up nice numbers as that cheap center. Biombo was obviously the pick there, but Bogut wasn't a terrible guy to pivot onto. Iguodala, he's not really doing much. He played 38 minutes, went 7-3-1. The stats aren't coming. Livingston only the 12 minutes, so that allowed Iguodala to play some extra minutes as well as that sort of backup point guard. Barnes, 10-5 in 29 minutes. Really, he does not a lot at all. The Blazers, McCollum, 24-3-2 with three steals was great. Lillard went 36-6-10 with five triples. Great, but both of those guys shot under 40%. That's the difference. Steph went for 40 on 50% shooting. These two guys were quite inefficient, and the Warriors shot 46% compared to the Blazers, 41 in total. Plumlee had his best game of the series, 12-15-3. Played 35 minutes, and that always helps when he gets that extra run. And that meant that Ed Davis didn't get the big run that he had in Game 3. He only played 16 minutes, went 8-4, which is not bad, but Plumlee was obviously feeling it a little bit more in this game. Aminu with another big night, 18-13, a steal, a block, three triples. He has really come into his own in this series, and he's putting up tremendous numbers, and he is going to be severely underpaid, it feels like, next season, despite the howls of protest when he was the first free agent to sign last summer. Alan Crabb, 13-3-2 in 38 minutes. Big minutes for Crabb, and he's been getting 30 minutes basically every night, so he's always a DFS punt option, because if you're getting 30 minutes one night, something's going to stick, and it sort of is for him at the moment. Harkless back starting with that hip problem, 17 minutes, 8-6. He's not really a reliable option at this point. That's two games in a row under 20 minutes for Mo Harkless. All right, let's switch our focus now. And what we're going to do in this, and I should have mentioned that earlier, there's one game on for Tuesday. There's two games on for Wednesday. So the DFS sites are running combined contests. They're running Tuesday, Wednesday contests. So I'm going to preview Tuesday's games. I'm going to preview Wednesday's games here. So therefore, there'll be no podcast on Wednesday, because I don't want to be rehashing the preview that I'm giving out for Wednesday. By then, we may have had an official announcement of Steph Curry for MVP. I reckon I should have tweeted that out. Breaking news, Steph Curry will win the MVP. Mark Stein did it today. I think it was Mark Stein. And cool, that's his breaking news. Source say that Steph Curry's going to be the MVP. No shit. My son could have tweeted that out and it would have been accurate. I'm not saying that Stein doesn't have a source in the NBA that told him that, but he is the worst kept secret in the entire world. There is zero chance of anyone else winning that apart from Steph. So when we see a breaking news tweet without an official announcement from the NBA, cool. I should have just done that and got that retweeted 10,000 times because it would have been right and you couldn't have proved me wrong. Anyway, let's talk the first game, the Thunder and the Spurs. The Spurs are favored by 7 and the total is 199.5 points. We're back in San Antonio. It's 2-2 here. The Spurs will obviously be looking to get this victory. At point guard, Tone Parker's salary has risen a bit. It's at 5,100, but he's been really good in this series. He's averaging 27 points across the last three. And if you're going cheap at point guard, which is not a terrible option, I think that Parker's a pretty decent guy to get in there. He's the best cheap option that's out there. Russ Westbrook at 11,100. Do not love using Russ at that sort of salary. I can use Steph for cheaper. I can use Dame Lillard for cheaper. That would be the direction that I would be going. Look, Westbrook's great. He's averaging 51.5 points across the last three. But at 11,000, I need him to go for 55. I need him to go for 60. And at the moment, it's just not happening in that way. Now, Patty Mills, campaign, Andre Miller. Obviously, no love for any of those guys. At shooting guard, Dan Green was really poor in Game 4. He only put up 12 points, had some early foul trouble. He's at 4,100, though. He remains a really good option for tournaments. Now, this is not one of those cases where we have to go cheap at shooting guard. It's not one of those cases where we have to go expensive. We can balance it out. We can go with a Dion Waiters, a Danny Green. We can go McCollum, DeRozan, Wade, Clay. There's lots of options you can go at shooting guard here. So Green is always one of those guys to pay attention to. Dion Waiters at 3,800. Don't really love him going back to San Antonio, but he's been great throughout this series, and that is probably a taboo sentence to say about Dion Waiters, but he has been fantastic throughout this series. Offensively, he's at his moments, but defensively, he's been great, and he is going to make some serious money as a restricted free agent. He had 27 points in the last one, and at 3,800, I would feel very comfortable about getting Dion Waiters into a DFS lineup. Manu Ginobili, I don't think his upside's quite as high, so I would take Waiters over Ginobili at this point. Robertson, Foy, Morrow, Simmons, Martin, none of those guys are going to factor in, I don't think. Small forward, we've got Kawhi Leonard, we've got Kevin Durant. Durant broke out in Game 4. He put up 50 in a tremendously hot shooting performance. 10,100 for Durant. If I'm picking between one of these two guys, I'm probably taking Durant, to be honest. Now, I've always lent Kawhi so far in this series, but Kawhi at 9,400, it just feels a little bit expensive. You're wanting him to go for 46, 47 points, and I'm not sure I feel more confident about Durant getting to 50 than I do about Kawhi getting to 47, and that's probably the way that I'm looking at it at the moment. Anderson, the two Kyles, Kyle Anderson, Kyle Singler, not much love there. Power forward LaMarcus Aldridge, one of the better players on the board, had a really quiet game four. I think he bounces back tremendously here in game five. He's been great throughout the series. The last two games, a little bit quiet. Back at home, I think he's a big one. He's at 8,700. Fine spending up on him. And I don't mind using Dave West at 4,000. He had a great game in game four, put up 20 points. He's been preferred to Tim Duncan down the stretch. 4,000 is not a big amount for David West. So I'm definitely okay if you're going cheap at power forward to put him in there. Serge Ibaka at 5,400. Even that feels overpriced with the way he's playing. The Thunder have been running Enes Kanter and Steve Adams in longer stretches together. And it is limiting what Serge can do, and rightfully so, because those two guys have been out playing what Ibaka can do. So 5,400, I'm not keen. Boris Diaw, I'm also not keen. At center, speaking of Enes Kanter and Steven Adams, Steve Adams at 5,200. If you weren't putting Bismack Biyombo, which you probably could, Steve Adams has been amazingly good. He looks like he's breaking out in front of our eyes. He's averaging 28 across the last three. He dropped 32 in game four. He's playing Tim Duncan off the court, which is just a crazy sentence to say, but that is exactly what he's doing. 5,200, fine. Enes Kanter at 4,700. Look, he's been good. His defense has been really, really good on an Enes Kanter level, which means he's just below average for everyone else, but that's all he needs, considering that his offense and his rebounding is that much better than everyone else, basically, that's left in the playoffs at the moment. So he has been a really key player for this team, especially in getting that victory in game four. 4,700, I don't really think that I love it. Biyombo and Adams are clearly guys that are ahead of him at that sort of price tag. Timmy Duncan, he's not even playing 20 minutes. No thanks. Who remembers that Nazir Muhammad's on the Thunder? Just thought I'd throw that out there. The next game, the Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors. Can one of these games finish so it's not an overtime, so we don't have to watch 5 extra minutes of just horrendous basketball? That would be great if that could happen. The Raptors are favored by 4.5. We're back in Toronto. The total is 187, and that's probably being generous. At point guard, Kyle Lowry is at 7,900. For as bad as he's been shooting, the numbers aren't terrible. He's averaging 35 across the last three. He had 36 today. At 7,900, that's not too far off where it needs to be. The problem is you've got other guys out there, Westbrook, Curry, Lillard, that you're spending, and it's maybe not the same amount, but similar amounts, and I would rather take those guys. If I'm going to go super cheap at point guard, which I don't completely recommend, but Corey Joseph is probably the one to go for. He's at 3,600. He played 37 minutes today. Lots of people calling on Twitter that they want Joseph in over Lowry. And we saw the minutes here. We saw Joseph get more minutes than Kyle Lowry in the end. He didn't turn it into much. It was only 17 points, but 3,600, that's almost enough in terms of value-wise, and it might allow you to, instead of taking a Kyle Lowry as your other point guard, you can take the extra $1,000 and take Dame Lillard. You can take the extra $2,000 and take Steph Curry. That might be a way to go. Goran Dragic at 6,500. Played a lot of minutes today, 43 of them, in fact, and 26 points. Didn't turn it into much. I think that if you're going that mid-price range, I'd step down the 1,400 and take Tone Parker, then go that mid-range with Dragic, because he needs to get 32, 33, and it's just not really happening for him at the moment. At shooting guard, we've got DeRozan, we've got Wade. I'm going to make a comment that's pretty ballsy, a prediction that's pretty ballsy. I think that DeRozan at 7,600 will be tremendously under-owned, considering he had 9.6 points today. But I think that he is going to have a bounce-back game of some description. He has to have something. They're back in Toronto. He is going to have to do something. At 7,600, I think his ownership is low. There are other shooting guards out there, McCollum, Clay, Wade, who are all in that similar price. DeRozan should have pretty much the lowest ownership of all those guys, and I think that he could be a real bargain option. It's pretty risky, given the way that he's played, but he has had some decent games sprinkled in there. Look, he's had a 48-point game within his last five, and I think that could be something that we see in game five. Terrence Ross at 3,600, he's a great punt option. He had 17 in this game, but he's really only for tournaments. Dwayne Wade at 8,100, you can't hate what Wade's doing. Averaging 38 points across the last three, 36 across his last five. At 8,100, you use him, but there are other guys that I do prefer. Joshy Richardson, Normie Power, two of my favorite second-round rookies of this season. They're not worth using in the playoffs. At small forward, it's got to be Damari Carroll at 4,700. Had an off day today, still put up 19 points. The upside for him is higher than these other cheaper options here, like Justice Winslow, who was okay today, putting up 16 points, and you saw his name mentioned in the perfect DFS lineup, but yeah, just there's no upside, really. Joey Johnson at 5,100, not a bad guy as well, and I could see putting a pairing of Carroll and Johnson if I really wanted to save at small forward. Probably not the smartest way to go, given Durant and Kawhi are on the board, but it is an option. At power forward, Pat, you can look, maybe at one stage, maybe he will go off. Who knows? It never seems to happen. He is at 3,800. He's playing a lot of minutes. In the last three games, he's averaging 31 minutes. He's also averaging less than 10.5 points per game. That is really, really putrid. I don't love it. Luol Deng at 6,300, he falls into that Goran Dragic mode to me. He's mid-priced, but he's not getting to 30 points. And at 6,300, you need him to exceed 30 points. He's just really not doing it. Don't love it. Joshy McRoberts at 3,500. Stoudemire, Haslam, 35, 37. Probably not for any of those guys. This is all assuming Hassan Whiteside is out. I've got him listed at doubtful. Obviously, we're 2 days away from the game, so I don't know his status. I don't think that he will play in Game 5. At center, obviously, there is no Whiteside. According to what I'm talking about here, there's definitely no Valanciunas. So it's Bismack Biyombo. It's Biyombo all the way. He's at 4,700. He had 35 points today. I think that, again, in cash, it's really tough to go away from him and be able to put up a decent lineup. The last game that'll be on Wednesday is the Golden State Warriors. It is the Portland Trailblazers. Let's take a look at the point guards. Lillard at 8,900. I love him here. He's averaging 52 across the last three games in this series. Another 50-point game feels like it's almost a fait accompli at the moment. Steph at 10,600. I do prefer Steph over Russ Westbrook for saving a $500. Not sure he's the wisest investment, but he put up 59 today. But that's a historic performance. Does it happen again? You'd have to say no. 10,600, though, he could easily go for 55 points, and you wouldn't blink an eye. I still prefer Lillard at that saving of almost $2,000. Sean Livingston's value was great while it lasted. It's finished now. Forget about him. Shooting guard, McCollum at 7,100. He's just been a solid guy, averaging 32 points over the last three. Absolutely fine using him. You know, you save $1,000 by using him over, say, Dwayne Wade, and $1,100 by using him over Clay. Now, Clay has been good. He's averaged 35, but that's in the last three. But that's only three more than McCollum. And for $1,100 more, I would take McCollum. And with Steph back, not sure that Clay is going to get you that 40, 45-point mark. I'm just not confident. Cheap shooting guard, Alan Crabbe's the one to go for. 3,900, had 19 today. He's been okay. Now, he's hard to rely upon in cash. He's more of a cheap shooting guard in a tournament. If you're going in cash, I probably prefer someone like a Dan Green or a Dion Waiters, but Crabbe is an option. Gerald Henderson, Leandro Barbosa, no thanks. Small forwards, we're talking Harry Barnes, and we're also ignoring Harry Barnes. Iguodala with Steph back at 4,600, I'm not keen, and Mo Harkless has fallen off, so no small forwards that I really care for in this matchup. At power forward, Draymond at 10,000 still feels like really good value, probably less value now that Steph's back, but he's averaging 58 across the last three anyway, so even if he drops to 52, 53, I think you're going to be okay. Not a bad time to fade him though. Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,900, love what he's been doing, averaging 33 across the last three games. Fine, I think you should almost consider having him as almost a lock in lineups. Eddie Davis at 3,800, he is risky, probably wouldn't go his direction. At center, we're talking Bogut, we're talking Plumlee. Plumlee was good today, had 32 points in 6,100, had 6,100. Does it happen again? I'm going to venture and say no. He's not a bad contrarian guy, but to me, Biyombo and Adams and Kanter are clearly the top three center options out there. Bogut's another guy you can go for contrarian-wise, but those are the three guys I think gives you plenty of value. All right, what we're going to do now is, I can't bring it up on the screen, obviously, because I'm being annoyed by my graphics situation on the Hangouts on Air. So I'm going to go through the DFS picks of the day now verbally, so keep your ears peeled. At point guard, we're talking Corey Joseph at 3,600. We're talking Tone Parker at 5,100. And I'm talking Dame Lillard at 8,900. At the shooting guard position, Alan Crabbe at 3,900. CJ McCollum at 71 and DeMar DeRozan at 7,600, but that is a big asterisk, a big question mark. We're talking about a guy that you want to throw into a tournament and see how it works, because I'm not confident, but I think he could be a really low-owned option. At small forward, DeMar Carroll 47, Joe Johnson 51, Kev Durant 10,100. At power forward, cheap power forward option, we're looking at Dave West at 4,000. Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,900 and LaMarcus Aldridge at 8,700. And with the centers, there is no high-priced center here, but Bismack Biyombo at 47 and Steve Adams at 52 make up the low-price and mid-range options at the center position. We are done today, guys. I think today's podcast felt like a good one. I hope it was anyway. I guess that's up to you guys to decide. Good luck setting your DFS lineups. Good luck if your team is still in the playoffs. Good luck in life, I guess. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. You can follow Basketball Monster at Bask Monster. which is where we tweet out all the up-to-date news injury-wise. And of course, if you're a member of Basketball Monitor, you can see how that all that injury news affects all our projections and build lineups over on the site there. Hardwood Paroxysm, thanks to them for hosting this podcast as well. There are great episodes going up there from all the different shows. Podium Game, which I was on the other day with Brian Giverman, Heat Check, Quo Vadimus, Fast Break Breakfast, Over and Back, heaps of stuff over on the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network. Just one quick reminder again, if you are a Western Bulldogs fan, keep your eye out for the Kennel Pod. Follow it on Twitter, at the Kennel Pod, and check that stuff out there. I'll tweet out some information once that iTunes feed gets approved and the first episode is out, so make sure you're keeping an ear peeled for that. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.